Hello, dear listener, it's Daniel. Now, before we get to this episode, just want to remind you, me and Core just launched a Patreon. For $7 a month, you can get exclusive content. Now, how do you sign up for said exclusive content? Well, we made it easy. There's a link down in the show notes, or go to patreon.com/litdpod. We'll see you soon. Now, let's get to today's episode.
Laying in my bed, and I turn over because I'm on my belly, and I turn over and I can move my head over, but as soon as I moved, it was like my body just like it was stuck. It was super weird. And as soon as I could see, there was a little girl right beside my bed, and she just looked at me. She had like pigtails. It was really weird. Up and I looked up, but I couldn't move. Like I was, you just feel like you're glued almost. Like there's no way that you can move at all. It's super, super weird feeling. And I just remember looking around like with my eyeballs. And I looked over to my left and on my bed, I see footprints walking across my bed and I can feel it. Was like fourth pew back. So she was laying beside the third pew and the fourth pew. So right beside where I was. And there was a couple people beside me, but not very many. So I had a clear view of sight of her. And she started levitating completely off the ground. Yeah, crazy. And she was about a foot off the ground and then she went back down. And I remember the pastor saying, "Women and children, get out of here." I was trying to get out of there as fast as I could because I didn't know what was going on.
Welcome, truth seekers, light bearers, and the lost to the Light in the Darkness podcast.
We hope this show can shed some light on whatever leg of the journey you're on. We are your hosts. I'm Corey.
And I'm Daniel. Welcome back, everybody. Before we get started, I would love to give you some fantastic news. If you listened to episode 23, then you know we took up a love offering for Moses. Guys, thanks to you listening to the Holy Spirit and giving the way you did, we're able to send $250 to him, and that is just awesome. Going forward, that Dropbox for Moses doesn't go away. So whether you're listening to this 6 months or 6 years after this episode dropped, if the Holy Spirit pokes you, the option's still there. Going forward, for all first-time donations, we got a little something for you, and that is a killer sticker with our logo on it. And let me just go ahead and tell you, I have ran mine through the car wash a couple of times, and I put one on a water bottle, and it has survived the dishwasher also. These are great stickers.
And I just want to mention that if you would like to give, you can do that at litdpod.com/support, and you can give donations either generally to the show or designate those towards Moses with that Dropbox. And today's interview is a good one. We have another old-time friend and family member of Daniel's coming on the show, his cousin by way of marriage, Paige. This is going to be a fantastic interview where Paige shares all of her supernatural and paranormal stories, including but not limited to sleep paralysis, the ministry that the Lord has for her coming up, and all kinds of goodies that we love here at LITD. But before we go into the interview, there is just something that might have a question mark for some of you that I want Daniel to clear up.
So, in past episodes and in the one you're going to hear today, we refer to Shabak. Shabak is a multi-state, multi-denominational youth conference, and some awesome good Holy Ghost stories happen there. So, often, I imagine going forward, we'll probably continue to reference to Shabak, but now you're in the know.
And now that you are in the know, we got nothing else to say to you. Without further ado, let's get to it.
Well, welcome to the show, Paige. We're glad to have you.
Hi. I'm glad to be here.
How glad?
Like, super glad.
Awesome. Have you ever heard of us before? Just curious.
Just a little bit.
Okay. Okay. So you've heard.
I'm just kidding. I've listened to every one of these episodes several times.
Couldn't avoid it after Thanksgiving with Daniel, huh?
No.
It was a great conversation, and it was our aunt's birthday. So if you're going to take shots, aim a little better. So you know what I'm about to say then. We want to start at the very beginning.
Absolutely.
Because it's a very fine place to start. And per our last episode, that is not a Mary Poppins thing. That is a Sound of Music / just Julie Andrews thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So take us back to your childhood, what the spiritual atmosphere was.
Okay. So I remember probably starting to go to church about age 8. My mom was raised in a Church of God, Holiness Church of God. So they had a lot of strict rules. I mean, if you know anything about the Holiness Church of God, they have a ton of crazy rules and
Do you want to share a few crazy ones?
Well, you know, you can't cut your hair. You can't wear jewelry. It was all about wearing long skirts. Mom tells me all the time. She was like, they transitioned right at the beginning of her high school years into this church. So she went from being able to wear nice, cool clothes to like long skirts, ugly shirts. She was like, it was an awful high school experience because of it. But, you know, that's kind of where she started in church, I guess. That's where my grandparents got saved. And there was a lot of family drama that escapaded later on. So she got out of the church a little bit. And they weren't in church for a long time. They weren't in church with my sister or my brother. And they're much older than I am. My sister's like 11 years older than I am. My brother's 9 years older. So they didn't start going back until I was 8. So my siblings, actually my sister went to church, to another church, and pulled them back into the church. So it was, you know, that's when we started going back in at age 8. But anyways, that was a Church of God as well. So it wasn't quite as holiness. We didn't have quite as many rules, but there was still a lot of religion, I guess is the best way to say that. And that there's no disrespect by any means for anybody in those churches. It was just a lot of religion. And I think, let's see, probably I was 12 or 13 when we had a huge issue at the church and my parents left. I won't go into that, but when we left, that was like right at the beginning of my teenage years, and I got into a lovely crowd of kids, and I started doing a lot of things that I shouldn't have, unfortunately. But, you know, we live and learn. I definitely had a lot of learning to do after living that life. I think by the age of 14, I was dating somebody, and, you know, I lost my virginity at 14, which was very young for a girl. And, you know, I started smoking weed, cigarettes, 14, 15, you know, that kind of thing. My parents tried to pull me back into church several times. They started going to my brother-in-law's church. He was a pastor at that point in time. And I hated it, like wanted to run as far away as possible. I was like, I do not want to be here, because I knew when I was little, when we were going to church, that I had a calling on my life. I didn't know what it was, but I knew that I had a calling on my life, because I started having dreams really pretty steady right after we got into church when I was little. So they were like, I stopped it really fast because I was like, this is scary. The spiritual aspect of all of this is very scary for a young person that doesn't know anything, that hasn't been taught anything, especially when your parents don't necessarily know how to guide you in that, or you don't have somebody in the ministry that can guide you into that. So that was like, I put a big halt on the church when I was a teenager. And by 16, I think they finally got me back into a youth group. And we went to Shabbat. And I think there's a lot of stories with Shabbat.
Right on.
But yeah, I remember going, and I don't know what happened. When you're looking at it, you see all these kids just jumping up and down and acting like they're praising. And some of them are doing just that, but most of them are truly worshiping. And it was a very tangible moment in the Holy Spirit. And it was just like, hey, you're called. So I gave my heart to the Lord that day. I couldn't tell you the date or the time. I just remember that being the moment of like, okay, this is for real. And I got slain in the spirit without anybody touching me. I had the Holy Spirit. I was able to speak in tongues after that. And it was just like, it was just instant. And I remember getting up after that and all my friends were like, I don't know how you're not like bruised, because I mean, all these kids are still jumping around me, but they were like, it was like this whole circle around you that nobody could penetrate. It was crazy, but you know, I no issues there. And then after that, there's always that falling away and getting back into trouble, doing things that I shouldn't be doing. But I think by the age of 22, I got back into church. And then I met Cameron, my husband, and because I was so tired of the online dating or whatever, just I never found anybody that truly loved me for me. And then I met Cameron at the most random Halloween party ever. And yeah, I knew he was gonna be my husband that night. Like, I went home and was like, okay, cool. And it's been there ever since. But yeah, going back to, I guess, to the very beginning is when I started having the dreams. And I started having a lot of spiritual encounters young. Probably, I think the earliest, well, I had a lot of night terrors when I was little. And I think I might be wrong and might not ever be, you know, this is my opinion, but I think a lot of night terrors, a lot of kids experience night terrors and it's very spiritual. And I don't think a lot of parents understand that, because you think it's just a bad dream. But these were like very intense, very real. I can't remember them specifically, but I do remember how I could feel things in them and like I could smell things. Like, it was very intense dreams. And I remember, you know, my mom would be like, you know, you just lay with me, just stay with me. You're going to be fine. Nothing's in here that's going to hurt you. And, you know, as a kid, you're like, okay, well, that makes more sense. But the older I got, the more that was viable. And then I started having sleep paralysis. I don't know. That was right after I got saved, when I was 16, when I started getting sleep paralysis. And it was unreal. It would happen once, twice a week, constantly.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. For a long time.
While you were in sleep paralysis, you know, some people see something. Mm-hmm. Other people, they feel something pressing on them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a hand caressing their head.
Yep.
What went on for you, or were there any elements like that?
So there were several times that it almost felt like somebody was covering my mouth, so I couldn't speak. But you just keep trying to like cry out Jesus. Like, that's the only thing that my brain can think is just say Jesus, just say Jesus. Because as soon as that, it breaks it. But most of the time I can't open my eyes when I'm in that sleep paralysis state, which is weird because a lot of people have their eyes open from the stories that I've heard. But I can't normally open my eyes. But when they are open, normally I see a dark figure. I remember one specific time. I was a teenager, young teenager, that happened, and I was laying on my back in my bed, and I woke up, and I looked up, but I couldn't move. Like, I was, you just feel like you're glued almost. Like, there's no way that you can move at all. It's super, super weird feeling, and I just remember looking around, like, with my eyeballs, and I looked over to my left, and on my bed, I see footprints walking across my bed, and I can feel it. Yeah. So, and I was like, what do I do? What do I do? So, you know, I, of course, freak out because I don't know anything about spiritual things at this point in my life. So that was a scary moment. But I think a lot of my spiritual sightings happened in a house that was very old, that I lived in for a very long time. But there were some things that happened in that house with my siblings that they kind of, I feel like they brought in some things, and I'm not going to throw them under the bus, but yeah.
Was the first things you can remember the night terrors? What was the first specific incident you can remember that, like, this is not normal?
That one, when that, whatever that was, walked on my bed, we're going to call it a devil.
Okay.
Because that's basically what it was. But that was the first one that I can really remember that, like, set the tone for, this is not just dreaming. Like, I'm not, this is not right.
So footprints, figure comes later on down the road.
Yes, figure comes later on down the road.
So that really kind of progressed, because it went from seeing something's just feet to there it is.
Yeah, there was nothing there on my bed. It just, like, you could see, you know how like a little kid would walk on your bed, and you see, but it wasn't little feet. It was normal.
The figure, though, you know, a lot of people give us, you know, kind of a cloud look, or even I've heard humanoid shapes, sometimes with a big hat, sometimes not, sometimes old woman, you know. What did you see?
It's just a dark figure. I've never really seen, like, any other than, you know, a shape other than, like, a dark, what I would think, a man figure, in one of the little spandex suits. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. That's what I saw when it happened to me.
That's exactly what you kind of, like, there's no face. There's no, it's like looking into a dark hole. That's, there's nothing there. If you've ever looked down a well, it's empty. So when you see a figure like that, it's almost like you feel it in you that that's just like an empty space. It's really odd how that, how you feel it at the same time as when you're seeing it. Messes with your senses.
But this house,
mm-hmm.
you were saying things have happened in this house,
bad
things, it seems.
I think a lot of things got brought in. A lot of drugs got brought in at some point. My brother was very, he liked women. So a lot of sex got brought into that.
Good way to put that.
Oh, they had to nail my brother's window shut at one point because every night it was somebody else. So
I'm hearing that song again. Smooth operator.
Don't bring that into this, Daniel. This is sin. The other one is questionable.
Did you ever say that about Bob? Did you ever?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of things that got brought in. And, but I don't really know. Like, when I was younger, I didn't know any of that stuff. I had no idea that that was coming into the house. So, you know, I didn't know that until I got older. But so there's three bedrooms in that house. And I transitioned to each of the bedrooms because when my siblings left, I would transition to their bedroom. And the last bedroom I was in was downstairs away from my parents. You could very easily sneak in and out of the house. And, you know, at that point in time in my life, that was very fun for me. But that room, there was a ton of spiritual encounters, that were just very scary for me. Then, because I did not know what it was or how to handle it. I mean, there's a ton of sleep paralysis stories. They're all about the same. I remember that one night, Cam and I had been together maybe a year and a half, just dating. I don't even think we were engaged yet. And I remember laying in my bed. I had been asleep for a couple of hours. It was about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I turn over because I'm on my belly, and I turn over, and I can move my head over, but as soon as I moved, it was like my body just, like, it was stuck. It was super weird, and as soon as I could see, there was a little girl right beside my bed, and she just looked at me. She had, like, pigtails. It was really weird. I didn't really see her face. She just kind of, like, you could just tell she was looking at me. She kind of tilted her head. And I guess it was a girl. I mean, it had pigtails. So, but it just, like, it took my breath away. So, I mean, I cried out Jesus, I don't know how many times. And it went away and I was like, okay, I've got to get somebody in here. So I called Cameron. Of course, he was the night owl. And I was like, are you still up? He was like, yeah. I was like, I need you to come over here with anointing oil. Like, I need you to come over here because I knew Lisa had some, my mother-in-law. I knew she had some. So he came over and we did. He anointed my room, my whole, basically the whole downstairs down there. And I never had another experience down there.
I'm just seeing, I don't know what he looks like, but I'm just seeing him with like a Costco size jug of oil, just like throwing it around like in the name of Jesus.
He's one of the only people I know that could probably lift a Costco size jug of oil. Yeah. So what you're seeing is probably correct.
Was it anointing oil?
It was little it peanut tube, oil? It was this little tube that she got from Shepherd's Fold that probably had 4 drops left in it.
Shepherd's Fold.
But yeah, anyways, that was crazy. Another fun story, if you want another fun story. My aunt and uncle moved. They lived in Savannah for a really long time. And they moved from Savannah to Richmond, Georgia, which is right down the road from Savannah. It's not very far. But they got this really nice piece of property, probably 15, 20 acres, something like that. And when they built it, they didn't realize that they had built it on an Indian burial ground. So they had a lot of crazy stories. And I can tell you a couple of them. A lot of them happened when my aunt was out of town and my uncle was there with my cousin. My cousin's 17 now, but he was really little, like 6-7 years old when this first started happening. And Sid was downstairs. Bryce is upstairs. That's my cousin. They were separate entities in that house, and that house is really big. But Sid could hear all the toys going off. Like, he just heard a lot of toys going off in the toy room because they had a playroom. So he went upstairs and he looked in Bryce's room and he was like, well, you're asleep. What is going on in the playroom? He goes in the playroom and every one of the toys that had like battery operated whatever was on and like moving and doing all the crazy. And he was like, oh, I don't know what he did that night, but that was crazy. So, and there are several other stories like crazy. They saw Indian like spirits in the house. They saw the men in the house several times and they finally got it cleansed. But we visited before most of this happened. And I remember that night going to sleep and they only had one guest room. Well, they had 2 guest rooms, but it was my parents and my grandmother was there. So I slept in the floor of my parents' room. And I remember very vividly, very vividly. I was asleep and I started to have a vision. I would think that it felt more like a vision than it was a dream because it was tangible. It wasn't, I could feel things. Like it wasn't just a scene. There was a man there in my dreams, and it was almost like he was swirling around, and he laughed in my ear, and I could feel the breath on my ear, and it was the most horrendous laugh I've ever heard in my life. Like, it was unbelievably terrifying. If you don't know anything like that, like, oh my gosh, that was crazy. I woke up, and I was like, Mom, save me. But anyways, yeah, crazy stuff right there.
So we've talked about the paranormal for a little bit now, but I just keep getting this poke in my spirit, man, like, hey, ask her what we do together. And so you referenced earlier, like at a young age, you knew you had a calling. Mm-hmm. You felt that, you acknowledged it. You're like, yay, God. So talk about that calling. What has been revealed to you and what have you done for the kingdom? What do you do now?
Mm-hmm. So I got called into youth ministry as a 18-year-old. I was 18 when I got called into youth ministry. I finally got like the actual word of that. It took me a very long time to actually get into it. I tried for a little bit with my youth group to kind of teach a little bit, but I didn't have very good luck because of some scenarios that happened at that church. And we had, you know, that was another leave the church moment, unfortunately. And it wasn't anything to do with people are not great sometimes. And it was just a big fiasco. But anyways, So we left that church, and that's when I got back out of his grace, I guess. I don't know. I was always in his grace, but I was running from him pretty hard after that because, I mean, just people were so dirty. And I just, you know, every time you look at church people, and now I'm totally different. Now I don't see people like that in that sight. But then at 18 years old, I was so mad and so hurt by a lot of those people that I was like, I'm not ever going back in church. People are all like that. They're all hypocrites. They shouldn't be in church anyways, you know, that kind of thing. And I think we all go through a little bit of that. Now I see it. You know, we are all people. We all screw up. And I've forgiven all of those people that really wrecked my family for a long time. Anyways, so I got out of youth ministry, and it took me a long time to get back into youth ministry. We found the church that we're in now, Christ Fellowship in Fort Mill, it's probably been right at 4 years ago. And I started doing the youth leadership about 2 years into that. So that's where I'm at now. I did step down a little bit because baby boy takes up a lot of my time. So we're still a part of the youth, but taking a little bit of a sabbatical. But I definitely feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be, and I'm really enjoying what God's really doing and what he's showing me and that kind of thing, especially in teachings, because I don't think I've ever really been taught what I've taught. And a lot of it goes really deep. I'm very much into the deeper things of Christ. I don't like surface. It's very boring to me. And I feel like a lot of the religious background that I had kind of pushed me in a direction completely opposite from that. So, but yeah, that's where we're at now. And, you know, definitely it's been fun. It's been a fun ride for the last couple of years. I feel very set in that space. Now, you know, we'll see where it goes.
So you're a dreamer. Do you have any significant stories revolving around some dreams you had?
I've given my pastor a couple of dreams. I guess one of them being, I don't know how much I can share of these.
That's okay. Don't worry about it if you can't.
No pressure.
Especially since you just said the name of your church.
Yeah, that's okay. I was going to say, I don't know if I need to share all of the dreams. But yeah, I've had a lot of really powerful dreams, I guess, that kind of changed the direction of where people went and that kind of thing. So not anything that I did. That was just a dream and I gave the word.
Yeah.
So God talks to you through dreams.
Mm-hmm.
What other ways does the Father talk to you?
Well, I've had a lot of people come up and actually give me words and that kind of thing. That's definitely been one thing in prayer life, as much as I've had to grow in prayer life. But yeah, definitely in prayer life. And I think when I met my husband, his family taught me a lot about the Holy Spirit and how to speak, you know, how to communicate with the Holy Spirit and not just, you know, say normal prayers. I think a lot of that was big growth when I met them. They really helped me out a lot. I don't even think they realize how much they've helped me out. But yeah, so I've definitely worked on my prayer life and, you know, praying in the Holy Spirit, not just praying. I think a lot of people miss that. Praying with the Holy Spirit and in the Holy Spirit, you miss out on a lot of things if you're not doing that.
So you going on some years of freedom from the sleep paralysis thing, does that ever pop up again? Or
I honestly haven't had any sleep paralysis in a while. It's been, but I mean, we prayed over the house that we're in now. Like I'm very adamant on different things like that. Like we definitely have, there's scripture all in that house. There's nothing that's going to get in that house. And if, you know, if something gets brought in and I'm like, okay, you can't watch that here. Like we're not doing that. I'm very cautious about that because if there's any kind of spiritual tie to anything like that, I'm like, no, because as soon as you bring it in, it's in, and we're not messing with that. I don't want to mess with it.
So you're very aware of that.
Yeah.
Would it even be a stretch to say you're sensitive to things of the spirit?
Very.
So even going down that road, what about your husband? Is he also sensitive to the things of the spirit?
You know, I'm not really... he might be a little bit, but I don't know that he's where I'm at on that field. He's got a lot of discernment, but it's not really the spiritual side of things. I think a lot of it, it doesn't bother him as bad. Like, it doesn't, like, it almost is like grinding teeth for me when it happens. Like, it's awful. I don't think it really bothers him as bad, because there's a lot of things that, you know, he can do that I'm like, I can't do that. And that's just a different in person, but I don't bring those things in. I don't like to bring them in my sight.
That's funny. I just felt another poke from the Holy Spirit. So there's definitely something there.
Okay.
I think so. I think that sensitivity is obviously from him. Mm-hmm. I think there's giftings that accompany with that. To your knowledge, do you flow in any gifts of the Spirit?
Not that I know of. I definitely have been praying for, you know, a healing ministry. I feel very called to a healing ministry. So we're kind of waiting for the Lord to open that door. I know that door is going to open. It's just, when is that going to happen? Because it's been very heavy the last year or two with that, but just praying that out.
There is something there.
Oh, yeah, there's something stirring.
Because I just got like a huge, like, when you started talking about sensitivity to the spirit. And when you started talking about the healing ministry, I thought I could have done a backflip in my spirit, man. Because it's just like,
yeah.
Yes.
The word that you gave earlier is very...
Well, even as you're talking about it, you're like glowing. This is clearly something the Holy Spirit has birthed inside of you. And so... I'll be honest. I'll go out on a limb here. I don't know what's stopping you, and it's not your job to tell me. I don't know what the holdup is, but there is such just like a, tell her to pull the trigger.
Just do it.
Like, I really strongly feel in my spirit, man, there is so much the Lord wants to do with you. And your husband and your son keep coming into that equation.
Yeah.
And it makes sense why at such a young age, he not only tried to deter you when you already felt calling, acknowledged, and said, yeah, okay, Lord. And then even now with this, I can't do that. I can't be around that. Well, what is it you're trying to protect?
Yeah.
What is it that feels so like, no, thank you? That's because there's something in there ready.
Yeah.
So I encourage you to press in on that.
Absolutely.
And I'll be excited to see what it turns into.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely. Definitely praying on that one.
Have you been through deliverance process to break anything off of you that might be attached?
No.
Because I saw something standing behind you when you were talking about sleep paralysis, and it's still an assignment against you. It might not be able to get in and affect you the way it used to, but it's still there and it's still following you. It was like right before you started describing that dark figure you saw, I saw like that behind you, and it was like looking at me because it knew I was looking at it. So be... whatever the open door is, whether that's generational, because that's one thing a lot of people just don't know about is that the sins of those in our past or our ancestry, it just opens a doorway. It's actually really interesting when you start looking, they're starting to be able to, like, neuroscience has advanced to the point where they can see that there are literally predispositions in the biology of your brain when previous generations have experienced trauma, that your brain is then more susceptible to trauma, your children's brains. And it's like wired for trauma, and it takes generations of like no trauma to get that. Now, of course, we know that Jesus is stronger and we know he's a healer.
Absolutely.
So we can plead the blood of Jesus over that. But in seeking what it is, I don't know how much to say while we're recording.
I'm over here so excited because I feel like you just took science and generational curses and like tied them together. And I'm just like, what? Come on, sir.
No, keep going.
Hello, dear listeners. This is Corey and Daniel just wanting to take a brief second to tell you about an upcoming podcast we think might tickle your ear holes.
This Friday, July 28th, the first ever episode of the Raw Faith Podcast will drop. You might remember the host from episode 14, Pastor Shelley McWilliams, the modern day exorcist.
In each episode, Pastor Shelley is just going to break down what the Lord is speaking to her in quick, digestible 15-minute-ish intervals.
So if you're looking for a spiritual boost, remember, again, that's this Friday, July 28th, the Raw Faith Podcast with Reverend Shelley McWilliams.
Go subscribe.
Take care, y'all.
So what specifically, when you talk about this healing ministry, what do you see? What are you going after? What hurts? Now, are we just talking in general, or do you have a specific idea that the Holy Spirit has put in there? Healing from what?
I think a lot of the, you can always say healing is physical, but a lot of the healing that I feel like I'm, and I'm called into youth. So you have to understand that the youth in today's world is very abused in their mental health. It's all an enemy tactic. So I think a lot of healing has to come through the mind. A lot of depression, anxiety, that kind of thing. That's a big part of it. And a lot of that happened to me. Anxiety was a big part of my teenage years. I had a hard time. A lot of times I never had the thought of suicide or anything like that. But, you know, that was really tough. I was always in my head. And I had to learn how to get out of my head, first of all. But a lot of the times now it's an enemy tactic against me. So as soon as I hear those, I'm like, go away. You're not welcome. You're not welcome in my ear. You can stop speaking. So now I know that's a tactic against me, whereas I used to not. But yeah, I definitely feel like in healing ministry, I don't know. I don't know exactly where that's going
to
go.
But you're definitely drawn to youth. Mm-hmm. You have a heart for young people, which is a very special and specific calling because not all of us have the patience or the mindset to deal with youth. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, I bet you probably are quick at noticing those who maybe don't fit in with the group or kind of the outcasts or the misfits, if you will, and probably have a heart for them, I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I always go for the talkative ones at first, because I know that they're going to be my person to outreach, because I can be an outreach at some point, but not always. They're not always going to come to the adult. So I gravitate towards the ones that are more bubbly.
Okay.
Instill them into going out to the ones that are not. They need to learn that everybody is God's. I mean, they're all brothers and sisters in Christ if you're going to be saved. So you got to learn how to intermingle in those groups and not just be cliquey. I don't like cliquey.
No, I get that. That was always something, being in youth ministry for a little while, always try to keep an eye out for, like, who doesn't have a group?
Yeah.
Who's out there that they don't really fit in with the sports people?
Yeah.
They don't really fit in with the, you know, the band/music, theater people, you know.
See, I was always a kid that didn't have a group to go into. So there was, you know, I wasn't into the music or, you know, that kind of thing. So I could go anywhere. I was very diverse in my friend groups in high school, for sure. So I think that's why I try to find those people that are going to be cliquey, I guess, and kind of pull them back out into the not cliquey realm.
Break that mindset early.
Yeah. Yeah, try. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly what the healing ministry is going to go into. That's just a fresh thing that's been in my spirit for a while. I don't know exactly where he wants to go with that. So definitely physical, but I think a lot of mental too.
So we talked a little bit about kind of your first paranormal experience. Mm-hmm. And I believe that was the feet on the bed. Like the first kind of moment. What about, and this may be a little further back or later for you, your first encounter with the Holy Spirit, your first encounter of seeing someone, I know you got slain at Shabbat, but was that the beginning? Or did you see other things at church or, you know, what was that first encounter like? Oh, he's real.
I don't know which one's first. I'm going to give you two because I don't really remember which ones are better or which one came first. If you know anything about Church of God, they have camp meeting. I think, gosh, I was 13, 12, 11, 10, 12, I don't know, somewhere around there. And I remember this guy in a wheelchair could not walk. He was paralyzed. And they prayed for him and he got up and started running. And it was the most miraculous thing I'd ever seen in my life. Like it was, you know, you hear about miracles all the time, but how often do you really experience them? And I think that's another reason that I want to go into the healing ministry. Let me tag back off of that. Or not necessarily that I want, that I'm getting called into it because, like, why are we not seeing that? And, you know, there's definitely reasons that we're not seeing it. I think that God really wants to put that back into action. He, you know, he doesn't want anybody not to be whole. But anyways, so yeah, that was the first encounter that I saw the Holy Spirit. But I mean, like that time at Shabbat, that was the most tangible, like it was a weight of glory over me. And I don't think there's ever going to be a better way to say that. And that was the biggest, most powerful moment that I had with the Holy Spirit until we went to the church that we're in now. We went one time and I was like, I don't know. But I think I was in my head because we were both trying not to go to the church with my in-laws. Like we wanted to kind of sever those ties a little bit. but then they had started going and they loved it. You know, they had a great worship, that kind of thing. So we went one time and, you know, we were both like, I don't know. We'll try somewhere else. We never really tried anywhere else. And then, I don't know, 6 months later, we went back. I couldn't tell you what the pastor preached on other than he said that there were seeds that were planted and that he could see the sprouts. And we were in the lowest of lows at that point in time in our marriage. Like 2 months after we got married, he lost his job. So it was like instant, no finances. I was mediocre income for myself. So it was like, you know, it was really hard. I think that first year of marriage taught us a whole heck of a lot. But going into that church, it was right after our first anniversary, I think. And he said that, and it was like, I was in a bathtub of, I was just like, oh my gosh, this just feels amazing. It was just like being completely cleaned, but also soaking. And it was just, that was just an incredible moment. I don't know that I'll ever experience that again. I hope I do, but now as far as manifestations, there was the first church that I went to. Let's say it like that. The first church I went to, I remember sitting in a pew and, you know, this was the old school Church God. So you got these marches going around and, you know, tambourine going, and it was just a good old time. I think they were singing I'll Fly Away or something like that. Victory in Jesus.
A couple of bobby pins flew in front of your face. You can hear them clanking off in the distance, covering your eyes.
So it was
one
of those services of just like, you know, everybody's in it. And I remember this lady falling out, what I thought was falling out. And she was laying beside, so there's, I think I was like fourth pew back. So she was laying beside the third pew and the fourth pew. So right beside where I was. And there was a couple people beside me, but not very many. So I had a clear view of sight of her. And she started levitating completely off the ground. Yeah, crazy. And she was about a foot off the ground and then she went back down. And I remember the pastor saying, women and children, get out of here. Like, you got to go. And they had to, there was a deliverance there at some point. I don't know exactly what happened because I wasn't involved. I was trying to get out of there as fast as I could because I didn't know what was going on. Yeah. But after that, when we went back into the church, she was completely delivered. Now, from the story that I was told, one of the women that stayed in the church that helped in that deliverance, she was thrown against the wall. So, you know, might not have been the best case scenario for her to be in there. But anyways, but the lady did get delivered and she was baptized in the Holy Spirit that night. And she was so drunk in the spirit, they had to pick her up and take her in the car. It was crazy. It was nuts.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh. A foot off the ground.
Oh, yeah. Like, whole body. Not talking about, like, her head or, you know, sitting up. Like, whole body flat. And she was still laying there. And it just went back on the ground. And I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, I can't blame you for that reaction.
I don't even think I was a teenager. I think I was sitting with the teenagers at that point, but I wasn't an actual teenager at that. Like, I was trying to get myself into that. You know, I was in that age, probably a preteen. I don't know. It's crazy.
I think in those moments, it's so hard. I remember being in different youth conferences and events and, you know, then the people would be delivered, you know, they'd mm-hmm. either take them to a back room or they'd have us leave the room the youth event was happening in and yeah. deal with it. And it'd be so hard for me not to look at them and go, they had a demon. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking to them. Like, there was this weird stigma for the longest time, like, nah. And I think it's so important to talk about, like, what you just said. Like, no, yeah. she got delivered.
Yeah.
Clean, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. And it's like, that's done now.
Yeah.
And if there's anyone else out there who has that issue, remember, they're part of the body, too. And they just happen to have, you know, their business out there in front of everybody, whether yeah. it's floating a foot off the ground, writhing on the ground like a snake, or in the case I saw, biting someone one time. Yeah. So
there's a ton of stories out there with that. I mean, you just need deliverance. That's all it is.
That's really all it is. You need the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You're fighting against principalities and demons and, you know, and then that person is still that person, mm-hmm. a child of God. When it's done, it's done.
And for every person you see manifesting outwardly, there's so many more chained inwardly that are addicted to porn or just struggling in different areas. Yeah. And it's just some of them happen to get in the Holy Spirit's presence mm-hmm. and just go berserk.
Solid point.
Yeah.
Solid, solid point. Gosh.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. Holy Spirit's laying this on my heart. I don't know who it is or if there's anybody that's going to hear this in the future, but somebody's battling with, I don't know if it's a food addiction or anorexia, bulimia. I don't know exactly what it is, but that is not you. That is not your brain. That is something that is attaching itself to you. So find a way to get somebody to help you out with that, or pray it off, because that's not you.
Amen. So whoever that is dealing with that, it just sounds like an eating disorder is mm-hmm. what you're getting, whether that's addiction to, or
I don't know if it's I feel more like it's like you're not eating, like you're counting everything that I see you looking at food and you're like, you want it but you don't want it, because you feel like you're just not, your body image is not there. Yeah. Wow.
Whoever you are, you're made perfectly and beautifully in God's image. If your body weight is not ideal, there are healthy ways that the Lord is going to help you. Mm-hmm. But we break off the shame yes. and the attachment there in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Shame is not a motivator to make healthy lifestyle choices. Stewarding the temple and wanting to live a healthy life for yourself and your family, those are admirable qualities, but shame and doing it out of compulsion is not. So we break that off of you in the mm-hmm. name of Jesus.
Jesus.
We call healing. And then if you need to, seek dietitian. There's all kinds of help out there. This is America. Everybody's dealing with food issues because yeah. our food supply is, that's a whole nother conversation about what the food industry is doing with our food
is and the next
poison they're putting in our food.
And if you need someone to partner with you in prayer, you can reach us at litdpod@gmail.com. And we would be happy Absolutely. To pray with you and just be in agreement and potentially even help you find someone to walk you through this, because we love you and we're here for you. I just feel like there's so many people out there who can relate to your story.
Yeah.
And the part that really immediately from the get-go spoke to me is you were like, so sleep terrors and paralysis started after you got saved,
after,
if I heard that?
Yeah.
Which...
Well, the night terrors were before.
Right.
I had those really young. But I don't know if those were always like bad dreams or if they were actually dreams that God was giving me before I knew anything. So, you know, I don't remember them very much, but yeah, the sleep paralysis and everything, that was very much after I got saved. I was hit hard, hard right after I got saved. And I think that's why I ran so hard, because I didn't want to experience it again. It's not a fun place to be in that state, especially not as often as that had happened.
When you were running, did mm-hmm. it happen as often as for when
I don't
you were-
know that it ever happened when I was running.
Kind of what I thought you
yeah,
were going to say.
Yeah. I don't know that it might have, but I don't think it, nothing like that. You know, you, I guess I've always been spiritually inclined. I can pick up on spirits pretty well. You know, you're walking in a house, you feel something behind you or, you know, that kind of thing. I think that always has happened. I can always tell that there's something there, but it's never like attacked or touched or anything like that. You just kind of feel its presence there.
I think what I really want to ask you, and because I know there's people listening who are like, wow, that happens to me. That's very similar to my story. And it's a question we ask every now and then, honestly. But mm-hmm. to somebody who's experiencing that, what would you say? Because they're probably contemplating the same thing. If I just run from this, if I just, you know, forget these changes I've made and these directions and steps I've taken toward the Father, if I just mm-hmm. kind of chill with that, you know, maybe I'll be okay. Or maybe they're in the midst of it and it's just feeling like 100 pounds on their chest.
Oh, yeah. It definitely does feel like 100 pounds. I would say get in your word. Dig so deep that you can't get out in your word. I think that's been the biggest. Because once you start speaking God's word to the things that are happening, that's when it starts changing. You can alleviate all of those things once you start speaking God's word over it. So, yeah, that's what I would say. Just dig into the word. Dig deeper into the word than you've ever thought possible and ask the Holy Spirit to open it like he's never opened it before to your eyes. Because, you know, at first, especially when you're first starting to read your word, it's not the easiest read for sure. But I think the more you read it, the more you pray with the Holy Spirit, the more he opens it up. So, yeah. That's what I would say. That's the best thing that I ever did.
And my encouragement to you and anybody else who has that kind mm-hmm. of story is the enemy attacks people like you and attacks people like our listeners because mm-hmm. they have been calling on their life and they're perceived as a threat.
That's right.
That is the reason mm-hmm. you're perceived as a threat.
Absolutely.
So it's no wonder that when you weren't walking with the Lord, you don't really remember any stories. Well, why would he bother? He's winning in that moment.
Yeah.
It really is just that basic. If we think about this as warfare tactics, which it is, it would help adjust some of our perspective. And some of you may be saying, well, if it'll just stop, if I'll go after him, that just seems like the easy answer. It really isn't. Because then, A, you're throwing in the towel and honestly being a little cowardly. That probably sounds harsh, but I'm going to leave it in.
I think cowardly works really well in that scenario.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you feel afraid.
Yeah.
And that's the bad part about it, especially when you've never dealt with it before or you don't know how to deal with it. You kind of want to tuck your tail and run. And I totally understand that. I've done it several times. But it's what you're fighting against has no power over you.
Amen. Talk to anybody who's ran.
Yeah.
Any amount of time. And one reoccurring thing comes up is I was miserable.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying
oh, yeah.
everything. I was doing anything because it's when you're in what God has for you, there's nothing more satisfying. And when you're running from it, you will try anything to numb it, but it is the worst. So you know what? Don't be a Jonah. Don't be a coward.
Exactly.
Let's double down on it.
God has not called you to be a coward.
Mm-mm.
He has called you to be more than an overcomer because scripture tells us, resist the devil and he will flee. If you stand against him and you oppose him rightly in right warfare, taking Paige's advice, steeping yourself in the word, he cannot continue to come against you. It will stop. Your hearing Paige say she's had years of freedom from the mm-hmm. oppression and the attack she used to have because he has to switch up his tactics. He's not going to continue to waste all the energy and effort to one he just lost. Now, he'll come different ways, but by then, you should theoretically be equipped better to fight him
yeah.
in new and better ways and use spiritual warfare components and principles. So We're not called to be a coward. Listener, you are not a coward. Even if you feel cowardly, that does not make you a coward. You are called to be part of this fight, to pick up your sword, pick up your lantern for light in the darkness, and start swinging, start taking the light out there.
I think just one more thought on that thread, because this is so juicy Holy Spirit goodness right here, and it is done medium rare. I'm digging it. In that moment, because it's going to happen at some point, there's going to be another flex by the enemy. Mm-hmm. And when it happens, whomever you are, you'll notice that fear is there for 1 second. And then all of a sudden there is this almost, how dare you in Jesus' name? Mm-hmm. There is maybe I can describe it as a righteous anger, but you'll know Jesus's authority is within you. And there is a difference that eventually comes upon you, and digging in the word, practicing his presence, you know, being sensitive to the Spirit, saying yes mm-hmm. more often, you'll find these things fuel that and they help that. And eventually, yeah, there's going to come that time where you're like, ooh, what is that in Jesus' name? You get out of here, you dog. And a switch flips.
Paige, can you remember the last time that you had that kind of warfare? Do you remember the last time you dealt with it by chance?
Really? The one that I remembered is the little girl beside my bed. That was the last one that was like a presence, I guess. I guess life has not been the easiest. Definitely been hit a lot in the last few years in different aspects of life. But we just had to, I think a lot of that has to be looked at by your outlook. You have to see things in a better light. A lot of that had to change. Like, I had to change my whole mindset. And I'm still doing that. I'm way work in progress right here. so that's a big aspect of it, is just changing my perception on things. Looking at what God is doing, even in those scenarios where it feels like he is the furthest from me. It's definitely been a key component in the last few years. I feel like we've finally gotten to a point where we're climbing up this hill and we're almost at the top. I can almost breathe. And then I'm like, I don't even want to breathe. Cause as soon as I breathe, it's going to be like, what's going to happen next? But I think, again, that's all perspective. Like, God's still done so much. I mean, he has blessed us tremendously in every aspect of our lives. I never thought I would have kids. I mean, I was told twice by two different doctors that it would be very hard to have kids unless I had medical intervention. And, you know, here we are. Unexpectedly, we have a little boy, and he's wonderful. He's the best thing ever. But I didn't know that was going to happen. So there are many blessings in that. And a lot of hard things that happen in between, but definitely perspective of all of it. It's God's plan, and he's just working it out. There's going to be bumps in every road.
Come on, Jesus.
Yeah, right?
The God of the mountain is still the God of the valley. And a lot of the times we get this all, our circuitry all mixed up, thinking that we only praise him for the breakthrough. We only praise mm-hmm. him when the breakthrough comes, but we're called to praise him in the lowest lows and the deepest pain and the hardest hurts. And there is nothing that will make you understand Jesus more than bringing him your deepest pain and in your greatest moment of brokenness and seeing tears in his eyes, because he weeps with you mm-hmm. and he mourns with Absolutely. You and then he celebrates with you. And we get it all twisted, and we're never promised to have a life that is void of trials. We're never promised to have a cushy life. That's kind of been a bill of goods that's been sold to a lot of people mm-hmm. in the faith. And then when life gets rocky, they turn their back on Jesus and walk away. But we're instructed to count it all joy when we fall into various trials.
I was sitting here thinking, where was that perfect life scripture again? Because I would love to start quoting that right? and banging the table. That'll bring an offering, let me tell you.
Right. Absolutely. I think that's the biggest hurdle in everybody's life, is just trying to not let those negative things that happen in life deter you from knowing that God's got you, you've got a purpose, and this is all His plan. There's some mess that's going to happen in the middle, and a lot of it has to do with us making the mess. So, change your perspective, speak it out loud. I think that is one of the biggest things that my father-in-law ever, first thing he probably ever said to me when the first time that I met him was, faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. He was like, if you don't speak it out loud, you're not going to hear it. So you're not getting it. So it's like, start reading your word out loud so you can hear it. And I think a lot of that has really helped out a lot. Either I'll listen to it on an audiobook or I'll speak it out loud because I remember it. It's like, oh my gosh, I've never remembered all this before.
So Paige, seeing that I've been in prayer with you and the fam over a certain situation, that's actually quite miraculous in nature.
Definitely.
And in how God showed up, showed out, and saved the day. And we do love singing His praises here.
Absolutely.
One more time, Brother Corey. But on a serious note, would you please, in your own words, as I always say, paint this picture of this miraculous thing that the good Lord did. Absolutely. Here recently.
It's been definitely miraculous. Very hard, very, very hard situation. It's been 8-9 weeks now. My sister took her 2 teenage boys to Texas to see a friend of hers and a friend of theirs. It was like a mom and son. And they got down there on a Thursday, and Friday night, she went to urgent care. She'd coughed up blood. So got to urgent care. They told her that it was probably just from the airplane ride and that there was nothing wrong, and sent her on. No issues, you know. They didn't do a chest x-ray or anything like that. So Saturday she gets up and they go and do a couple of things, but she's not feeling good. Like, she's, yeah, my sister is one of the worst patients because she will push herself to no end. And she just keeps moving. There's never a time, like, even when she's sick at home, she can't stand to be at home. Like, she wants to be somewhere else. She can't stand it. Like, she's got to get out and go somewhere. So she does not take time to let her body heal ever, which, I mean, she's pretty healthy normally. So just to kind of give you an idea of who my sister is. So when she says that she needs to go to the hospital, it's not good. So Saturday night, she told Becca, which is her friend, that she needed to go somewhere because she was not feeling good. So they got there. I don't know exactly what time, but anyways, they got there and they did chest x-rays, found out she had pneumonia. And within 6 hours of her being at the hospital, she was on a ventilator. She had coded. She'd coded for 2 or 3 minutes. Like, she completely died on the table. And they got her back. They had her on a ventilator, and then they had to put her on ECMO. And if you know anything about ECMO, it's basically like dialysis for your lungs, in a very not medical terminology there. But it takes all the blood out of your body, oxygenates it, and puts it back in. Does everything that your lungs are supposed to do, because her lungs were not able to do it. She had bacterial pneumonia that turned into necrotizing pneumonia. If you've ever heard of, like, flesh-eating skin disease or whatever, it's the same kind of bacteria, and it basically ate lung. So it's that in itself is a miracle that she's still alive. People that go on ECMO have a 30% chance of survival. And the longer that you're on it, the shorter that survival chance gets. And she was on it for 22 days. Yeah, it's crazy. And it was just a constant up and down battle of, we got to get her to where she can eat. They had to put a feeding tube in. They actually transferred her to the hospital that she was in that first night. They transferred her, once they got her to a stable point, they transferred her that, like, in the middle of the night over to, I think it's Brooks Memorial Hospital, which is a military hospital. They are the number one hospital in the United States for ECMO. If this would have happened here in South Carolina, she probably would not be here because of that. So it was horrible that she was so far away from us, but she was in the exact place that God needed her to be in because they were able to take care of her. They had doctors from Germany, like, in on her case because she was such a miracle. She was up. She's in medical journals now because she was up, like, doing PT with ECMO, which is unheard of. It's crazy. But anyway, so she just got home a couple of weeks ago. We've had a couple of setbacks in the meantime, but now she's really doing a lot better. She was actually at the baby dedication on Sunday. Super excited that she was able to be there. She's got a long way to recover, but she is a complete miracle. And that first night, I think, well, because that was a Sunday that all of this happened. I got a call at like 9 o'clock in the morning from my mom saying that she was in the hospital, but she didn't know anything. Like, we didn't know what was going on. She just was in the hospital. I was like, what in the world? Like, what's going on? You know, I didn't think anything of it. And then an hour later, I got a call that she had coded. And I was like, oh, absolutely not. You are not taking my sister from me.
There it is.
That's that anger, righteousness, anger bubbling up. I was like, absolutely not. So, and I, you know, prayed very harshly probably for the first little bit. And I was like, all right, I know you've already healed her. I'm just thanking you for it. And I'm going to continue to thank you for it. Even when things were turning the opposite direction or wasn't going as fast as we wanted it, I was like, okay, but you're still doing it. You still healed her. So I'm okay with this. You take your time. You do whatever you got to do. You've already done it. Like, it's already done. And I kept having to remind everybody in the family that way too. I think that was a big thing because it's very hard to stay on like a positive track. And she went through so many procedures, surgeries. She had like 5 or 6 chest tubes, like insane amount of pain. She's got a lot of trauma that's built up now from all that. So she doesn't like hospitals right now. Or I don't think she'll ever like them again. Not that anybody ever does. But yeah, it's very hard to see light in a situation like that. It's a very hard to see light in the darkness. Very hard. But once you set your mind on it and say, all right, God, you've got it. I'm going to trust in you. You've already done it. I believe that. And we're just going to receive it. I think that's when your mindset really starts to change. So.
So earlier you were talking about, you know, when you were talking about the guy in the wheelchair who got up to walk, mm-hmm. and you're like, you know, these miracles, you know, they just don't happen as often as they should. And I was just sitting here like, oh, you just kind of got to walk through one with your family here recently. How about that?
Yep. Sure did.
Come on, Jesus.
Yeah. She's definitely a miracle walking. It was touch and go there for a little bit, but I'm thankful that she's home. I'm thankful that she's with her babies. That was the hardest part, I think, for her and her husband both, because they were in Texas and we were in South Carolina. So that was very long, 6.5-7 weeks for them to be away. And my parents stepped up and watched the kiddos. I think we all tried to help out. And unbelievable amount of support. I mean, it just absolutely has shocked everybody in my family at the amount of support that they've gotten. It's not because they weren't loved or anything like that. It's just like when you have a scenario like that, you don't expect, you know, I mean, my parents got meals brought to them almost every single night for 7 weeks. And, you know, the financial support that my sister and her husband have gotten is just exponential. There's no words for it. There's no way to thank everybody or anybody for that matter for the generosity. I just, you know, every time somebody would go on the GoFundMe page, I'd be like, just bless them, Lord. Just bless them 10 times over. Just bless them, because there's no way that I can thank all these people. And I know that my brother-in-law was thinking the same thing. It's just, it's insane. It's insane how much people cared and the generosity that they had. And I think that her story really brought a lot of people closer to the Lord because of the way she portrayed her story. Even when she was in the deepest holes, she would post on Facebook or whatever and be positive. She's always been a positive light.
That's some legit praising him in the valleys.
Yes, absolutely. Right there. Absolutely. It was definitely a hard praise, but once you realize that it's like, okay, you got it. You got to keep praising.
There's some importance there mm-hmm. about having like-minded people around you, yeah. about having the body around you. And mm-hmm. honestly, even family support system, but church family too.
Absolutely.
I know there's a lot of people who are like, church isn't going to get me to heaven, you know, but in these instances,
no, it is. Brothers and sisters yeah. in Christ, if you're not involved in the church or I get it. I totally understand. People are not great sometimes, but getting into somewhere where you have a family that's not necessarily just your family makes a world of a difference because you're like-minded. Birds of a feather flock together. I mean, that's the truest statement there ever was. And if you don't have somebody in your corner, then it's very difficult to do it by yourself. So find somebody, find people that are like-minded.
We'd like to thank Paige for coming on the show and sharing her stories. That was a lot of fun. And if you enjoyed this episode and some of the topics that Paige brought up, like those sleep paralysis stories with the scary little girl, boy, are you going to enjoy our next episode. Coming on the show for episode 25 is author and deliverance minister Vicki Joy Anderson, author of They Only Come Out at Night, a book dealing exclusively with sleep paralysis. And she was, to quote L.A. Marzulli, a hoot. And speaking of hoots, we have a little tradition here at Light in the Darkness where we like to give a little thing we like to call a shout out.
Shout out!
Take it away, Danny Boy.
Today's shout out comes to us from Weeza. Angels, demons, and aliens, oh my. We thank you for the 5 stars. And they said, I have a hard time not talking about this podcast with everyone that I meet. Corey and Daniel approach the interviews with genuine curiosity, and we do, and invite their guests to share honestly and openly. Each episode invites the listeners to pause and think, how does the Lord move and operate? How does this relate to what I've seen and believe? Thank you for being obedient to the move of the Holy Spirit, and thank you for inspiring others to do the same. Well, thank you, Weeza, whoever you are, kind stranger, for your 5-star review. And if you would like to have your review read aloud, you can go right to Apple and give us a 5-star review, and we'll read it here. If you would like to learn more about Corey or myself, you can find out at a little place I like to call LITDpod.com.
That's LITDpod.com.
One more time, folks, LITDpod.com. And if also you have something you would like for us to partner with you in prayer about, or a supernatural or paranormal encounter you'd like to tell us about, you can reach us at LITDpod@gmail.com.
That's LITDpod@gmail.com.
LITDpod@gmail.com. Also, if the Lord is poking you and you go, you know what, I want to help support these guys and what they're doing for the kingdom, you can support us at LITDpod.com/support. Click the donation button.
LITDpod.com/support. It felt wrong for me not to do it. I'm sorry. I don't know if we're going to do this every time. It's first time for us. I just got nervous. I had to do it.
Wow. He just like almost came out of his skin. LITDpod.com/support. There we go.
LITDpod.com/support.
So, yeah, you can't say you don't know. We've said it 4 or 5 times now. But, yeah, we love you guys. Till next time. Take care, y'all.
So, find somebody, find people that are like-minded.
That'd be a great app when we start Light in the Darkness Church.
How many squares are you guys?
6.
That's right. 6 square church. Maybe 7 sounds better. 7 square church.
I think 4 squares is plenty.
All right, cool. I will be a sister church that branches off with 3 extra squares. Don't get mad at our logo.
That's funny.
Light in the Darkness, First Independent, non-baptist.
On the frontage road.
On the frontage road.
The sword of Joshua, six square assembly of faith, light in the darkness, church of my God, on the frontage road.
Boy, I can see the sign on the side of the road now.
Can you imagine how long it's going to be? And the amount of light bulbs in there. Oh, gosh.
I think that's one of our favorite things when we do like a road trip, especially going to the mountains. We love looking at the church names.
Because there's hilarious. No one driving past them, and they can just put whatever they want uh-huh. to on there, and uh-huh. nobody's going to do anything about it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. There was
Vote Blue, he won't come back for you.
It's turn or burn. Get right or get left. And then my favorite. Oh, what was that one? Finally. It was... Honestly, it was just something like... Accept Jesus or go to hell. Like, it was so like...
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, just stop trying to be crafty, Sister Rhonda. Just put it on there.
We ain't wordsmiths around here.
Oh, my God.